Gemara in the very end of the Met Tomim, and Daf Nun Aleph Mabez quotes a brisa that tells us, "Ein meraz kenoas hasheleg v'loas habarad b'shabbes b'shvil she'azuvu meima." Unclear from the Gemara exactly why it's forbidden to crush the sheleg or the barad in order for its water to ooze out. Rashi writes the following chiddush to Maskel Kedei, that mishum dekam molid b'shabbes v'dami memalacha. In what sense is it considered to be a malacha? Rashi says, Shebore hamayim ha'elu. So Rashi tells us this is a problem of molid b'shabbes. When the Rashba quotes this Rashi, the Maskel, the Rashba emphasizes that don't misinterpret Rashi to tell us that this is a problem of nolad, something we associate with muktzah, but rather this is an iser mishum srach malacha, that midrabanan is considered to be similar to malacha generally. We know that, normally speaking, when it comes to malacha, malachas machsheves, malachos result in yitziras davar chadash. We discussed this earlier in terms of the Or Zeruah, why in fact Tosos is considered to be a malach in geruah. In such a case, you need some sort of shinu in chefetz, some type of new creation. And therefore Rashi writes, even though here it is not one of lamates malachos, it is something which is vidami the malacha because molid b'shabbos. This is the first possibility that Rashi mentions. Good? So again, the Rashba emphasizes this is not nolad, but rather molid b'shabbos. We'll see why that's so important in the halacha as well. The Rashba continues and tells us the following, that there's a very different possibility, and that is that this is a gzeira drabanan, mishum gzeiras schita. After all, just as we learned earlier, if you have peros ha'omdim lamashke, there is a gzera of shita. Sometimes the shita itself is only drabanan, and then there's a gzera drabanan of mashkim shezavu. So hu hadinami, the Rashba writes, the chiddush that ein merazkin loas hasheleg v'loas habared is simply mishum gzeras shita. This is what the Ran writes as well, and avchov gimel medbeis in dapi harif termasko ve'ein. This is all part of the gzera of shema yischad. And the Ran goes a step further, and the Ran writes that this also is the Shita Sarambam. Even though the Rambam does not spell this out explicitly, but if you look in Hilchos Shabbos and Perachav Aleph, beginning with Halacha Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel, that's at least what it seems from the context of the Rambam. The Rambam in Chav Aleph Yud Beis discusses the Din Daraisa of Mefarek, a Tolda of Dash. The Rambam goes on to discuss Shita Zeisim Vanavim, which is Chayiv Midaraisa, Tusim Vrimonim, which is only in Isser Drabanan, Shar Peros, which are Mutter. That's the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis. Then the Rambam, the very next Halacha, the Ram discusses the cases of Kvashim Ushlokos, Lagufan Mutter, Lemimehin Asar, and then the Rambam quotes his Braisa, Ve'ein Meraz Kenes HaSheleg Shiazuvu Meimav. The Magid Mishnah makes this comment, similar to the Ran, that Rashba Shita is, this is a gzera of Shita, and the Magid Mishnah writes, V'chein nira midivra Rabbeinu. This appears to be the Rambam Shita as well. Why is that true? Shehevia Eitzel Din HaShita. The Rambam has been discussing the Malach of Disha, Shita is a Tolda of Dash. Now the Rambam quotes his Braisa V'Meraskin, so therefore that seems to indicate that this is also because of the gzera of Shema Yishchad. So again, the Rambam is not explicit in explaining the verse to us, but rather this is true based on its juxtaposition. Just the following ha'ara. It's an important issue in terms of when you have such cases in the Rambam, where the Rambam includes under a broader heading some examples, to what extent can one glean from that possibility that that means that the Tama Yisr, the Mechayiv, is because, for example, in our case, as the Rashba writes, Shema Yisrael. Let me just give you the following example. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Yud Hayach Halacha Yud, write the following. Let's assume you have a case where a person is Poseach Beis Hatzavar B'Shabbos. Right, a person opens up the opening to the neck of a Beged on Shabbos. So in such a case, the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, that you are Chayiv. The Rambam places this in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Yud Halacha Yud. What is the context of that halacha? There the Rambam is speaking about the halacha of Korea. So therefore, Lechora, one could argue, the Rambam has been discussing the Malacha Daraisa of Korea, and now the Rambam gives you an example of Poseach Beis Hatzavra B'Shabbos, and therefore that means that that is Chayiv Mishum Korea. The Ram doesn't say explicitly why Poseach Beis HaTzavar is forbidden, but simply based on context. The Ram is discussing Korea. This is an example that seems to be similar to Korea. In such a case, apparently, that is the basis of the Chiyuv. This is the Ha'ar of the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha, which is found in Simen Shin Mem. And the Bir Halacha attempts to prove from this example of the Rambam that the Rambam does not require Korea Amanas Litvah, what we discussed earlier. Why is it necessary to have Korea Amanas Litvah? One possibility is that that is the essence of the Malacha. Korea Amanas Litvah, Poshub Shat Netosus, and Dafayin Gimel Medbeis. The other possibility is that's not true at all. Amanas Litvah is resolving a difficulty. How can there be a Malacha of Korea? The answer is, after all, Korea isn't that Mikalkel. The answer is that no. I'll give you an example of a Maisa Kriya which is not Kilkel, but rather it's a Maleches Tikkun. For example, Amanas Litvah. But Amanas Litvah is not necessary because that is the Malacha. That is simply part of the avoidance of the problem of Mikalkel. That Poshub Shat is the Chiddush that Tosfos says in Daf Ein Gimel Beis, that Korea Amanas Litvah is part of the essence of the Malacha. That was the Kashu we saw in the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Gebeger, from the Sugi and Daf Kuf Hei Amad Beis. If that's true in the case of Korea Bechamaso, Korea Meso, why is it that the Gemara says that you're Potter because it's Malacha Shinatzarit Lagufa? And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're Chayev Midaraisa, why? Why not argue that the Malacha was not done? Because the Malacha is Korea, which is Amanas Litvah. Good. So Poshub Shan tells us that's the definition of Malacha. The other possibility to avoid Mekalke, we spent again much time discussing those various options. The Bir Halacha writes, it's clear from the Rambam Shita now, Poseach Beis HaTzavar B'Shabbos. It's Chai Mishum Korea. It certainly is not Korea, which is Amanas Litvah. What's the answer? You're Chai Midaraisa because Poseach Beis HaTzavar is Malachas Tikkun. And therefore, that's not Mekalke. And therefore, you're chayiv midaraisa. So Korea ba'ofen hamasakin, that is considered to be the malacha daraisa. However, if you look, for example, in Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah and that Rambam in Shabbos Yud Yud Poseach Beis HaTzavar Poshav Shat in Magid Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah, they assume based on the Gemara Makos and Av Gimel, Poseach Beis HaTzavar is not Korea. Poseach Beis HaTzavar is Makke B'Pakish. That's the Tikkun HaBeged. Until one opens up that necessary opening, you can't utilize it as a beged. Therefore, it's not considered to be the gemar malacha of beged, that is tikkun ha-beged, you're chai misham makke b'patish. If you're chai misham makke b'patish, it's no rai in the world that korea is chayiv if it's considered to be a malachas tikkun, even if it's not. Amanas litfor. I, the context of the Rambam, that the Rambam places this halacha when he's describing Korea, maybe that's true, not in terms of the essence of the malacha, in terms of its mechayiv, but simply in terms of maisa hamalacha. No? What is the person doing? He is ripping the opening of the garment. That is an act of Korea. So therefore, at times, the Rambam will just by association mention this under the heading of Korea, even though it's not chayiv mishum Korea, but it's an act of Korea, or when it's chayiv on Shabbos, albeit it's not amanas litvor, you're not chayiv mishum Korea, you're chayiv mishum makke b'patish. That's the assumption of the Kesef Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah, that clearly, if the Rambam puts that in context, there must be some link. But does that mean that that link is necessary in terms of the tam ha'yisr, the malacha, under which it is found? Or maybe just simply in terms of the mitzius, that is the ofen ha'avera, that is the maisa ha'malacha, no? It's a fascinating issue just throughout the Rambams. To what extent can one glean from that type of juxtaposition? We discussed just last week in terms of Hilchos Tefillah, right? To what extent, for example, is duchening, nesias kapayim, considered to be part of avodah shebalev? It's an interesting ha'ara. Where does the Rambam discuss Hilchos Nesias Kapayim in Perek Yudel of Hilchos Tefillah? Good. So obviously the context of Nesias Kapayim is Tefillah. But can one go a step further and argue the fact that the Rambam places Hilchos Nesias Kapayim in Hilchos Tefillah shows you that that is in fact its kiyum? We discussed that Chiddush of Reb Chaim. That even according to the Ramban, Tefillah must be daraisa, not as a chiyu, but as a kiyum daraisa. Reb Chaim's raya was Nesias Kapayim. Because after all, if Nesias Kapayim requires Avodas HaTzibur Daraisa, if Midaraisa is considered to be part of the Kiyum Avoda and the Kiyum of Avodah Shebelev, in such a case, you can't have Nesias Kapayim without Tefillah. If that's true, the Chiddush of Reb Chaim makes perfect sense. Why the Rambam places all the Dinei Nesias Kapayim in Hilchos Tefillah. But maybe one could argue again that no, maybe that's true on the practical level, that Nesias Kapayim is in the context of Tefillah, but not necessarily in terms of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Then one can make that determination. In Perek Yedal of Hilchos Shechita, for example, the Rambam discusses all the halachos of Kisui Hadam. Does that mean that the Rambam Shechita is that Kisui Hadam is the Gemar Shechita? Or can one only glean from that that no, that obviously Kisui Hadam is the aftermath, it's associated with Shechita, but not necessarily in terms of the nature, the essence of the mitzvah, that one can necessarily assume that that juxtaposition is considered to be crucial, right? The Rush and Chulin in Perek Vav, Halasim and Vav, discusses at length the machlokes between the Rush and the Halachos Gadolos. To what extent is Kisui Hadam an independent mitzvah? To what extent Kisui Hadam is simply the Gemar Mitzvah Shechita? Just the Ha'ara. The fact that the Rambam describes this in Perek Yedal of Hilchos Shechita, can that be used somewhat as an indicator that this is like the Shechita of Halachos Gadolos, that Kisui Hadam is the Gemar Shechita? Good? For example, Halachos Gadolos writes that the Bracha on Kisui Hadam is La'achar Asiyasa. Because you can't make it over L'Asiyasa. What does over L'Asiyasa mean? Right before the Kisui? That's not over L'Asiyasa. Because the Kisui is the Gemar Shechita. So therefore, here you don't have the possibility of over L'Asiyasa because the Kisui already is Meshach Asiyasa. Now that's the reasoning that the Halachos Gadolos describes. It's an important ta'ara just in the broader sense about this element of context in the Rambam. Right. As a fascinating quote, if you look in the Tshuvas, Rav Chaim Volozhin, Chota Meshulosh, and Simen Yud, so there Rav Chaim Volozhin writes that Efshar Lumod Rubei Halachos Miseder HaRambam. That's something that we know, that's our Derech HaLimud. Now that simply from juxtaposition in the Rambam, you can glean Halachos. Now, but again, in terms of the Maisa HaMitzvah, and in terms of its essence, in terms of its Halos, but again, for our context, right here, Rishonim are explicit that Ein Meraskin, right, is part of the Gzeira of Schitas Peros, and the Magid Mishnah and the Ran, right, that is obviously the Shitas Rambam. Maybe one could argue that maybe one could suggest that Risuk Peros is not necessarily the same as Ein Meraskin as Hasheleg. Maybe it's also because of Molid, maybe it's also because of Nolod. Why does the Rambam place it in that context? Because of the Maisa HaMalacha. The Rambam has been discussing crushing various items, Schita Zesim, Schita Sanavim, Tusim, Rimonim, and then the Rambam goes on to, what about Meraskin as Hasheleg? That's also in terms of its description similar, but perhaps in terms of its essence, it's a very different type of gzera. Okay, but the two possibilities explicit in the Rambam, according on the Rishonim. According to Rashi Shita, it's a problem of molid. According to the Rashba, according to the Ran, it is part of this gzera of schitas peros. Then the Rashba continues and refers you to the Sefer HaTrumos. If you can, take a look at the Sefer HaTrumos. It's found in Simen Reish Lamed Hey, because it's quoted differently in the Rishonim. The Rashba quotes the Sefer HaTrumos as a third Shita. That the Sefer HaTrumos maintains that Ein Meraskin, or Ein Meraskin, two different Gersels in the Rishonim, is forbidden Mishum Nolad. Nolad. Nolad, as we'll see, is a form of Muktzah. Anything which will be utilized on Shabbos and Yantif must be Min HaMuchan. We'll have to discuss details, Machlokas Tanaim, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shimon, how that hachana takes place. But everyone agrees that that which is to be used on Shabbos Yantiv must be subject to hachana. That which is not min hamuchan, that, right, is muktzah. What is an extreme example of something that lacked hachana? Something which is nolad, no? If it was just created today, and it was not in existence on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv, how can you argue that that had a prior hachana, and therefore that is forbidden, mishum nolad? The Rashba quotes the Sefer HaTrumos that this is the problem of Ein Meraskin es Hasheleg es Havara. That right now, right, there was such a significant change in state that now there is something in existence that was not in existence mitchila sayom of Shabbos yantiv, that is forbidden mishum nola. And the Rashba writes, name is Sefer Trumas, a step further. Lefichach osu liten kedera. Oh, hunada shekara shemunisa neged hamadura. And therefore you cannot take something which is karush, something which has solidified, and you will place it near a heat source in order that it will liquefy, because after all, meikara, it was of a kafui, it was a solid, and vachshav nimcha, and therefore that is considered to be a problem of nolad. Good? So chiddush number one, the Sefer HaTrumos, that ein maraskin is forbidden because of nolad, because of the muktzah problem. And then chiddush number two, the psak halach of Sefer HaTrumos, taking a davar karush and putting a keneged hamadura that results in it liquefying, that also is considered to be comparable to the cases of meiraskin es hashelag or es habara. If you look in the chiddushei haram, the chiddushei haramban, they quote the Sefer HaTrumos in an identical fashion. The problem is nolad, and the chiddush of a davar korush too, a davar tzolul, that is included in this iser as well. If you look in the Rosh, here in the very end of Perek Dalet Simin Yud Gimel, writes Kosav Min Abarach B'Sefer HaTrumos, that again, that also lohochem pashtida b'Shabbos Eitzel Madura, you're not allowed to take the kugel, and to put that which is solid right next to a heat source, even if there is no such bishul problem, mishum de shuman hanikrash nimuach, because the shuman which now is solidified will become liquefied, and therefore vahavile molid. That's the chiddush that the Rosh writes. Therefore, it's considered to be a problem of molid, and vadomi lahach dein maraskin lo asabara lo asashale. That's what the Rosh writes. That is the psak halach of Sefer HaTrumos. You can't take a davar karush and heat it up in order that it becomes davar tzolul. But what is the problem? The Rosh writes, Vahavi le molin. That's an important chiddush. If you look in the Rezaru and Simin Samachay, the Rezaru also mentions this chiddush without at all mentioning the terminology of nolad. This is not a muktza problem, this is a problem of molid. When you look in the Sefer HaTrumos, you look in the Rosh, you get the impression that they are equating the sheet of the Sefer HaTrumos with that of Rashi. Rashi says the problem here is one of molid b'shabes. Shibori hamayim halolo. Not a problem of muktz of nolad at all. The Sefer HaTrumos does go a step further and argue that hu hadinami, this problem would apply to a solid that is liquefied. But not necessarily the Sefer HaTrumos is completely against, right, the chidushim of the other Rishonim, and assumes that this is usur because of the problem of nola. So two possibilities within the Sefer HaTrumos, right? The Ran and the Rashba, right? Against the explanation of the Rosh and the Sefer HaTrumos, whether it's a problem of nola or whether it's a problem of molid. If you look in the Sefer HaTrumos, the Sefer HaTrumos seems to emphasize that here the change of state occurs al yada, as a direct result of that which you are doing, the object is changing its state. That's an important chiddush in the Sefer HaTrumos. Why is it so necessary that the Sefer HaTrumos stresses that this is indeed al yada? Well, if you assume, for example, that it's a problem of molid, you understand very well. Molid means that v'dami la malacha. It's as though that you are performing a malacha on Shabbos. So therefore, the Sefer HaTrumos argues that any type of change that occurs, if it's something that we can attribute to your action, that is considered to be molid b'Shabbos v'dami la malacha. If it's a problem of nola, just to jump ahead for a few minutes, no? Whether it's al yado or whether it's shelo al yado, should be relevant, no? Nolad means that that chefza was not subject to a prior hachana. Is it relevant for me to ask you, well, how did that come into existence? Whether you caused it to come into existence, or whether somehow it all happened bidei shamayim, is that a relevant consideration? If you're telling me the basis of the isser is, as Rashi writes, v'dami l'malacha, then that's critical. Now, what was your role in that process? How can you consider it to be a malacha d'rabanan even? If you sat back with Sheva Tase and did absolutely nothing, like we discussed in earlier Shiurim, a difference in Xeros as opposed to Malacha. One of the marked differences was Sheva Tase. If the only concern is Shema Yavo, Shema Yavo can be in existence even if you sit back and do nothing. Shehiya. You don't do anything on Shabbos. But the possibility of Shema Yechad to Begechada. In order to argue something as Doi Malacha, doesn't it require some asiya, some involvement? Rabbi Kveger's question, for example, Xerav Mekach Umemkar, right, in Kufnum Tes, can that be B'Shev Altase? Does that have to be Kuv Vesei? Xeros can be B'Shev Altase. Dami Malacha Lachora means that there was some asiya sagavra, something that you in fact did. That should be a further difference in the case of Molad as opposed to Nola. Not just simply a difference in terms of what is the Gedar Yisr, but how critical is your involvement? If you're going to tell me it's Molad, Dami La Malacha, that's crucial. If you're going to tell me it's a problem of Nola, so whether you cause that change of state or not should be irrelevant. So there's a fundamental difference in the way the Rishonim present the sheet of the Sefer HaTrumos. Whether it's Nolad, whether it's Molid, see in Perek Gittur Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa, in the lengthy footnotes, in Yudalim Tezvav, he makes this ara, that if you look in the Sefer HaTrumos, Sefer HaTrumos stresses that it was Nasa Al Yada. The Sefer HaTrumos discusses, was this a Meiser, whether this was Al Yadei Grama. All of that seems to indicate that you need some Asiya Sagavra. Maybe, therefore, that is an indicator, right, of the rush, that this is a molid problem, dami de malacha, not just simply something which is considered to be that of nolad. But again, the presentation of Rov Rishonim in the Sefer HaTrumos, the Ramban, the Rashba, is this is a problem of nolad, and that's why they emphasize this is not what Rashi says. Nolad is not forbidden simply because dami de malacha. It's completely distinct. What is that Isra of nolad? And how do we paskin in the issue of Nolad? This should be very relevant then. If Ein Maraskin is usher because of Nolad, is Nolad forbidden on Shabbos and Yantiv? Is Nolad allowed on Shabbos and Yantiv? Is there a difference in Shabbos and Yantiv? Here you find several basic days in the Rishonim. The opening Mishnah Maseches Beitz and Beis Amud Aleph, right? The classic example of Beitz is Shenolda B'Yantiv. A hen lays this egg on Yantiv. So Beis Shammai says Teyachel, it's Mutter Bachila, Beis Hillel says Lo Teyachel. It may not be eaten. The Gemara, as you know, has four possibilities in understanding the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We discussed the three and four. Peros Anoshrim, Mashkin Shizavu, we discussed that recently. Right? When do we assume that there should be a Gzeret Rabbanon if something occurs by itself because Shema Yavo? Peros Anoshim, because it may result in Kotzer. Mashkin Shezavu, it may result in Disha. The opening explanation, Rav Nachman, is this is a Muktzah problem. Beis HaShanol DeBiyantiv, why is it forbidden according to Beis Hillel? Muktzah. Why according to Beis Shammai is it allowed? Ein Muktzah. What is that Machlokas? The Gemara says, this is the Machlokas between Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Shim, Machlokas Tanayim. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Yesh Mokhtza, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, Ein Mokhtza. So the Gemara continues in Beitz and Beis Amud Aleph. Rav Nachman assumes that the Islay Mokhtza, Islay Nolad, Mokhtza and Nolad are going to go hand in hand. If you hold whatever that means, Yesh Mokhtza, Nolad is forbidden. If you hold Ein Mokhtza, then there is no Isser of Nolad in these particular cases. And then the Gemara gives us a few examples. What are examples of Nolad? Beitz HaShanol DeBiyantiv? Nolad. What are other examples of Nolad? So the Gemara quotes a couple of Mishnayis in the Sefer Shabbos. The Mishnah Shabbos in Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. The case of Magbiyin Ma'al HaShulchan at Samos U'Klipin. A person eats and now there's a bone. A person eats and now the peel remains. What is the status of the Atzamos of the Klipin, bones and peel? A very great chiddush. The Mishnah treats that as a case of nolad. When you began, it was machal adam, chicken, right, the fruit. And now, what do you have left? The atzamos, the klipin, now that is machal behema. That conversion on Shabbos and Yantif from Machal Adon to Machal Behema, that is a problem of Nolad. If Nolad is forbidden, that means that Samo Suklipin should be Mokza. That's Rabbi Hiddushit of Yesh Mokza. If there is no such Isra of Nolad, the fact that it changed its date, that doesn't concern us. It's a very great Hiddush. Maybe one could argue again that this is not an example of Nolad at all, that Samos were there, the Klipin were there. No, nonetheless, the fact that before it was Machal Adam, not Machal Behema, that is considered to be a case of Nolad. Or a similar case, the Gemara cites in Beitz and Daf Beis, the Mishnah later in Shabbos and Daf Kufnun Vavim Beis. Whether mechatchines hanavela lifnei haklavim, you have an animal that was an avela before Shabbos, so you're allowed to take a piece of it and feed it to your animal on Shabbos. What happens if this animal died on Shabbos? So it was not an avela before Shabbos; it was a bal chai before Shabbos. Now the animal drops dead. Now it's an avela. Am I allowed to take a piece of that avela and feed it to my animal on Shabbos? There as well, the Mishnah says that's a muktzah problem. According to the Tanakam, absolutely yes. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer that no, im lo haisin avela mer Shabbos asura, because eina mer amochan. But this is nolad. The animal wasn't born today. The animal died today. Nolad in the sense that it only received that status of machal behema right here and now. It's like that samos neklipin. And in such a case, that is considered to be nolad. So the Gemara tells us that Nolad is machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Good? Tosfos and Beit Zohar makes a very important ta'ara which will be relevant to our cases as well. What do you mean to say? Rabbi Shimon denies Nolad? Isn't there a concept of hachana? Doesn't the Torah say, Hayim Hashishi, Chinos Hashayaviyu? Doesn't everybody agree that some hachana is necessary? How can anyone argue that just forget about hachana? If something is nolad, you're still allowed to utilize it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. How can that be? So Tosfos makes the following comment, that you see that there are different degrees of nolad. Everyone agrees that nolad is forbidden. There are just going to be different degrees of nolad. This is what Tosfos refers to in Beitza Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Tosfos on Daf Ches Amud Aleph in Meseches Beitza. Divrei Maschil Omar. Tosfos is bothered by the following. That first mission of Meseches Beitza, Beis Amud Aleph makes the following comment: Efer Kira Muchanu. The ash of an oven is something which is designated for use on Yom Tov. Shchitas melachas al hanefesh. After shchit, it's necessary to engage at times in kisi hadam. Kisi hadam means that you have to be mechasa the dam with some type of afar. Afer, ash can be used. And the Mishnah tells us you should know that afer kir is muchanu. The ash and oven can be used for the purpose of kisi hadam. So the Gemara of Chesam Nalef raises the following kasha. Is that always true? That ash is min hamuchan that can be used on Yom Tov for the purpose of kisi adam? The Gemara is in the Chesam and Aleph that no. Amri Yudam Arav, lo shanu ela shuhusak me erev Yom Tov. This is only true if the ash was in existence on erev Yom Tov. So a person had ash on erev Yom Tov, and he knew he would possibly need that ash for kisi adam. So good, that Efer Kir is Muchanu. But what happens if Husak Liyantiv? What happens in the following case? You have logs to fuel the fire. And the fire burns on Yantiv, and now it's converted into ash on Yantiv. What's the story? So the Gemara Beis Nafches says the following Chiddush. Is that ash hot or is that ash cold? If the ash is hot, then that's not a problem of nolad. That's like eitzim, no? Wood which is used to fuel the fire, and hide ash, which also is used for the purpose of bishul. But if, however, it's not royal litzlos bo beitza, if the ash is already cooled off, that's mamash nola. And of course you're not allowed to use that ash. That's the gram beitza of chesam and aleph. When are you allowed to use ash for the purpose of kisan and yantif? One of two possibilities. Either if it was ash prior to yantif, was subject to hachana, or that the ash is still piping hot, so that alpidin is considered to be eitzim, burnt wood. But if the ash is cooled down, then of course everyone agrees that it's aser. So Tosos immediately is bothered by the following Dereb Aschel Omar. Oh, wait a second. Here the Gemara implies that everybody agrees it's aser. And Tosos says, Hach Yilchasa, we pasken this way. That type of afer is forbidden. Why is it forbidden? No lug, no? In the beginning of Yantif, this was wood, and now it is ash. It's forbidden because of Nolad. Well, we just got through saying that Nolad is machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon maintains that Nolad is not forbidden at all. So how do you resolve that apparent contradiction? So Tosus says the following: there's Nolad and there's Nolad. This is Nolad Gamor. That's Lashon of Tosus. This is absolute Nolad. Meikar Eitzim, Bahashta Efer. That is absolute Nolad. That everyone agrees is us. When is Ramachlokes, Atin Rabbin and Rabbi Shimon? When there's a change in state. You eat a piece of chicken and the bone is left over. That's Nolad Gamur. I said, Nolad Gamur. You're right, before it was Macha Adam, now it's Macha Behema. An animal dies. And now the animal is Rayol Achilas Bamtel Nus. In such a case, that's Nolad Gamur. The animal didn't exist before, now it does exist. That's Nolad Sheino Gamur. That's Machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. But Nolad Gamur, everybody agrees, is considered to be Asad. So that's how Tosus resolves the steer, a very important Kiddush in Tosus. So when the Gemara says, for example, in the Beis, Beis is Shinolda Biyantif, you know what? That's not the classic case of Nola. That's the partial. That's the quasi-Nola. That's Nola Chino Gamur. What, the egg was created today? The egg was laid today. Miasmo Gamrala. The egg was in existence even before Shabbos, even before Yenta, in the Gufa Aim. The fact that the Aim released this egg, that's not Nola Gamur. And that's where Reb Shimon says that if it's a Beitza Shinolda, it should not be a problem of Nola. But Nola Gomer certainly is Asa. That's Tosus is Chiddush, and Ochesim and Aleph. And that's the Tosus that you know that goes a step further then. If that's true, that ash which is created on Yantif is absolutely Muktza. So then Tosus says, Vim Talmar in Cain, Heich Anu Misalkin Efer Hakira V'Yantif. So wait a second. So how do you clean out your oven on Yantif? You're allowed to cook on Yantif. So you cook one dish. Yeah, but in earlier times, after you cooked one dish, the whole oven was filthy. It was full of ash. Because you had to constantly put the logs in to fuel the fire. So now what do? How do you clean it out? You mean to say that's all you're allowed to cook? So Tosu says, no, you're right. That ash is absolute mukza, but that's the chiddush. And Tosu says, the reason Rabbi Kibeger, the tilta mukza is mutl, it's our chacha nefesh. Pestosis is further right. This ash is a problem. It's a problem according to everyone. But tilto muktzas mutu v'tzarach al-chanefesh. So the fact that you're allowed to remove the debris, the ash from the oven, is not because there is no problem. This ash is not nolad, not muktzah. It's absolute nolad. It's absolute muktzah. But tilto muktzas mutu v'tzarach al-chanefesh. That's that chiddush. That's what we saw in the Tosus Rabbi Kibeger, the Mishnah Beitza Daf Yedalma Beitz. Where Rabbi Kibeger was bothered, what do you mean efficiency? That if you have a case where it's Olchal Merubah L'Psolah, so therefore on Yantav Borah Kedark, I'll take out the Psolahs. Isn't taking out the Psolahs Tilto Muktzah? If you're talking about real Psolahs, Rabbi Kibeger says, of course it's real Muktzah. But Tilto Muktzah is Mutter, the Tzarech HaChon HaFesh. Now Rabbi Kibeger quotes the Tosus and Nafches. Those are the two Chedush Metosus, different degrees of Nolad. And the fact that Nolad Gamur, despite the fact that it's Muktzah, is Mutter, the Tzarech HaChon HaFesh. It's an important issue, not our Sugya. What forms of Muktzah is Mutter, the Tzarech HaChon HaFesh? That can't be true of everything, no? Beitzer shenolda biyantif, right? Lo se'achon, you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because of mukza, because of nolad. Why not argue, well, good, it's mukza, but the tzorach ochel nefesh. Well, apparently you see that achilas mukza is not mutter, the tzorach ochel nefesh. The only chiddush that Tosus expresses is that tiltul mukza is mutter the tzorach ochel nefesh. Not achilas mukza, not hishtamshus bidvar mukza, tiltul mukza. After all, tiltul mukza, Pashup Shad is only yasser because of a gzer mishim hotzah. Well, hotzah is mutter b'makam ochel nefesh. So tiltul mukza is not going to be more chamur than hotzah. And therefore, tiltul mukza is mutter l'tzorach ochel nefesh. So sometimes Rabbi Yid and Rabbi Shimon disagree. That's nolad she'eino gamur. Sometimes everyone agrees that something is nolad gamur. It's absolute mukza. Therefore, it's considered, in fact, to be aser. What is the machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon? As Slavichik pointed out, the machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, exists in other cases as well. The sugya and Shabbos and Afya Tesamud Beis. Let's assume, for example, you have Tura L'Rajim. You have an animal right in your backyard that you use for plowing. And all of a sudden, on Yantav, you decide, you know what, this animal is not doing a very good job plowing. Let's use it for the purpose of Shechita. Let's slaughter it and use its meat. Or the Gemara's case of Tamra Deska. You have Tamari. Dates, of course, are Elachila. Why should dates be Mukta on Shabbos and Yantif? No, the punchline is Deiska, Deiska. Now, this is your business. This is your stock. Right? So you have in the shelves of the stock room the Tamarim that you use for the purpose of for selling. And all of a sudden you decide, you know what, let's take a box down and let's eat them on Shabbos and Yantiv, Tamar Diska. Tura L'Radya, Tamar Diska. Is that Muktzah or is it not Muktzah? So that, the Sugya and Shabbos, Daf Yates, that's Machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, Mutter. Tura L'Radya, Tamar Diska, Mutter. According to Rabbi, that's not true. This is an Isser Mishum Muktzah. There are a lot of machloks in Rabbi Rabbi Shimon regarding mukta. These are two examples. Now, one is the nolad case. The other is tamra diska, right? Tura l'radya, machlokas Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. Is there a common link in these cases? So Slavichik explained the following chiddush. Everyone agrees there's a concept of mukta. That's not what ein mukta means. That mukta doesn't exist. We just mentioned Tosos. Everybody agrees that certain cases are us. And in turn, everyone agrees that there's a concept of hachana. The chinos asher yaviyu. Slavichik turned the machlokas as follows. When we speak about hachana, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean hachana sagavra? Or does it mean the cheftzes mechin esatzim? In order to utilize something on Shabbos and Yantif, it must be min hamuchan. What does that mean, min hamuchan? The cheftz is mechin es atzmo. The object is fit to be used? Or it is much more than that. You need kavanas hagavra, hachanas hagavra. That the individual has designated this item for use. Now, that doesn't mean that before Shabbos you have to go over to every food item that you have in your kitchen and say, I intend to use you, and I intend to use you, and I intend to use you. Right? Normally speaking, if you have food in your kitchen and it's Roy L'Achila, that is Hachana Sagavra. But is that necessary? That an implicit Hachana Sagavra? Or is it simply sufficient to argue the Chayfetz is making a sense? So classic case where Slavichik suggests is that Sugi and Shabbos, enough you test. To the Radia, Tamar Diska, is there Hachana Sachefza? Absolutely. Can the Tamarim be used on Shabbos and Yantif? Of course. Can the Shor be used on Yantif? Of course. Shechitas Mleches Ochel Nefesh. But there was no Hachana Sagavra. If you were to meet this person in Shul, right? Kabbalah Shabbos, you meet him in Shul at the beginning of Yantif. He would tell you, what do you mean? Those Tamarim? That's my stock. That's my business. What are you doing with that shor? He's using it for the purpose of plowing. There wasn't hachanas hagavra, but in terms of cheftza, is the chetze rayu for any form of hishtamshus and Shabbos yentif? Of course it is. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's sufficient. Hachanas hachetze, the chetze is mechanas atzmo. Not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rostavetchik used to give us the mashal, tamar diska of your Pesach tikka dishes. Right? Could a dish be used, right, now that it's not Pesach? Of course it can be used. The chetze is mechanas atzmo. But I have it stored away in the closet like tamar diska for non-Shabbos use, non-Yantif use. And let's say you change your mind in the middle of Shabbos and decide, you know what, we'll buy new dishes for Pesach, let's bring out some of those issues. No, that is b'machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Hachanas agav there wasn't, but in terms of chefsa mechanas atzmo, that certainly is true. Rav Soloveitchik explained, that's the machlokas regarding nolad sheino gamur. Nolad sheino gamur means the following. Rabbi Shimon argues the chefsa is mechanas atzmo. Tamar diska, tur l'radya, the same thing is true of nolad sheino gamur. If this piece of chicken is in existence, the chicken is mechanas atzmo. And the fact that it underwent a given change on Shabbos Nyanta from Machal Adon to Machal Behema, but the chefts is mechanas atzmo for any particular tzarech. But if you require hachanas hagavra, and at the beginning of Shabbos when that hachana kicks in, ben hashmashos, it was in state A, and now it is in state B, like Shivrei Kalim. Same machlokes, no Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. No, you have a kli that breaks on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shivrei Kalim. And we're not talking about where the shvarim are so small they can't be used for anything. The shvarim also have a purpose. You can argue that there's hachanas hachefza, but not that there's hachanas hagavra. There was no anticipation that that would occur. That's exactly then the chiddush that Tosfos writes in Daf Ches. Let's assume, for example, you have a case of nolad gamur, an absolute change in state where the object didn't exist before Shabbos and before Yantiv. But Rav Shimon is going to say that's mutter. For nolad gamur, there isn't even hachanas hachefza. The chefza was mechanas atzmo. The efer was mechanas atzmo. This didn't exist. That's the Chiddush Tosfos. Rav Shimon allows Hachana to withstand, right, a change in degree. The Cheft is Mechnas Atzmo. A change in kind of Nola that certainly is considered to be Asr. That's the concept of Nola. So this isn't just parenthetical, no? Because if you're going to tell me that in Maraskin is Asr because of Nola, you're going to have to ask yourself the following. What is Nola? When is nolad forbidden? When is nolad allowed? This case of Ein Maraskin, this is similar to Efer? This is a type of nolad that everyone would agree is considered to be Asr. This is nolad sheino gomer, like machal adon to machal behema. That this would only be Asr, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, not leave it to Rabbi Shimon. If you're going to tell me the problem is a nolad problem, so now you have to plug in what type of nolad, when nolad. What's the halacha when it comes to Nolan? Do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we pass like Rabbi Shimon? If you're going to be chayish for this chumrah of the Sefer HaTrumos, that ain't maras nesil gabar as asir because of Nolan, it's going to be very important to know whether we pass that Nolan is asir. If Nolan is mutter, or if there's a difference between Shabbos and Yantif, that's critical. How do we paskin when it comes to muktza and nolad in this machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Shema? So the Gemara Beitz and Daf Beis Amudeis makes a very stunning ha'ara that the Mishnayos were sosim zeze. When Rebbe was sosim the Mishnayos, so presumably that the Stam Mishnah should reflect the particular shita. And the Gemara points out an obvious difficulty that the Mistam Mishnayis Meseches Beitza follow Rabbi Yehuda and the Stam Mishnayis Meseches Shabbos follow Rabbi Shimon. That's a problem, no? If you're going to tell me that the Stam Mishnah is an indicator that that is the prevalent view as opposed to the later das yachid. So what's going on? The Gemara says, man sas nas nisin. Who is Masar Mishnah? It's Rebbe. So why was Rebbe seemingly inconsistent? Being sosan the Mishnayis in Yantif lechumra and Shabbos lekula. So the Gemara writes an incredible chiddush. Well, obviously this was done consciously. Since Yantif is kal, the Gemara says, osi lizuzleba. Therefore, sosan lantanak Rabbi Yehuda. This was Rebbe's thinking. People aren't that careful about dinei Yantif. They're more careful about dinei Shabbos. And therefore, Rebbe purposely was misad of the Mishnayis lechumra. You should be this Mishnayis, and you should walk away saying, you know, Yantif is incredibly chamur. I must be more careful. Shabbos, which people naturally view with that sense of severity, so therefore, Rebbe was so sinishnayis, like Rabbi Shimon. That's what the Gemara writes. In Beis, and that Beis, and that Beis. That explains why Rebbe was misad of the Mishnayis in that fashion. Yantif like Rabbi Yehuda, Shabbos like Rabbi Shimon. An unbelievable question, though. Is this really true lahalacha? Or was this Rebbe's vehicle? No? You know how Rebbe taught that Yantif is very chamor? By being sos in the Mishnayis lechumra. That doesn't mean we paskin that way lahalacha. This was Rebbe's divrei tochacha. This was Rebbe's divrei musar. What, you think Yantif is kal? This is asur, and this is asur, and this is asur. And a person walks with the Mishnayis thinking that Yantif is maybe even more chamor than Shabbos. Or should you argue, no, that because of this concern, that aslis is leba, as a matter of fact, lahalacha, Yantif is more chamor than Shabbos when it comes to certain dinei drabanan. When it comes to din d'oraisa, that's not true. But if the purpose of dinei drabanan is a gzer of shemi yavo, if something is more kal, and there's a greater likelihood of shemi yavo, makes sense. You can have a gzer in those cases. When we learn the sugya of Amir l'Nachri, so Tosis points out when it comes to Amir l'Nachri, there is a gzer of bichdei shiasu. And that doesn't necessarily apply to a Yisrael who does malacha. What Yisrael does malacha is less chamor than Amir l'Nachri. What's the answer? There is a greater likelihood that people are going to be very careless about Amir l'Nachri. So the Chachamim built in not only the Isra Amir l'Nachri, but Bichdei Shiasu. And that wasn't necessary when it comes to a Yisrael who violates a malacha on Shabbos. Sometimes you have such cases. Right? That the more kal something is, the more the need to have such a gzeirah d'rabanan. So if you look in the very end of Maseches Beitzah, the Rif Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, right, the last daf in Maseches Beitzah, the Rif quotes this incredible machlokes. Ashkechan Rabasa de Paska Bamilsa Lekula. There were those, the Rif writes, that paskin straight Lekula, like Rabbi Shimon, in Muktzah. Both in Shabbos, both in Yantif. Aye, the Gemara says that Rebbe was Mesad Mishnayis Lachum and Yantif. True, Rebbe was Mesad the Mishnayis that way, and he did so consciously to convey an important Musar Haskel. But the bottom line is, we're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon. And if you're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos, you're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon and Yantif. But then the Rif adds, Va'anano Svilon Hachi. We don't agree with this. The Rif writes, we paskin lahalacha, that there is a difference between Shabbos and Yantif. Unbelievable. Yantif is more chomor than Shabbos when it comes to these issues of Muktzah. We pass like Rabbi Shimon, ein Muktzah on Shabbos, like Rabbi Yehuda, yesh Muktzah on Yantif. That's the Psak Halacha of the Rif. We'll see that's the Psak Halacha of the Mechaber. Tov Tzadi Hei. Unbelievable. The Balamor is bothered by the following kasha. We've mentioned this in the past. Is it possible for Yanta to be more chamor than Shabbos? Is that really possible? Why not? The Balam writes, because of a Gemara later in Beitz and Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis discusses Tevila. Tevila on Shabbos, Tevila on Yantif. If a kli is tamei, You're not allowed to be matbil that kli on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But a person who is tamei can be tovel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's the difference between them? It's machlokas, beisila, beishamai. What's the difference between them? Why is tvilas kelim, meaning a kli tamei to tahor, why is that forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Rava says that's tikkun mana. Very important, tikkun mana. Tikkun mana makabepatish midaraisa means hands-on makabepatish. You are physically perfecting the kli. But if lahalacha, you are resolving the halachic problem, tamei de tahor, or the Gemara we discussed in Darshin Miskavi, the sugya, sukkah daflamet gimel beis, picking off those berries to make the hadas kasher, or right, the sugya later in beis daflamet vav, being mafresh chumas and maisers on Shabbos yantiv, those are all tikkun mana, drabana. You're solving the problem lehalacha, tamei to tahor, pasul to kasher, tevel to chun mesukanim. What about when it comes to tevilas adam? Isn't that also mechse kemisake? So the Gemara says no. It's a chiddush of Rava. Adam nira kemekar. A person jumps into a pool of water. He's just refreshing himself. I take my kli and I put the kli into the mikvah. That looks like tikkun mana. A person just jumps into a pool of water. The Gemara says that nira kemekar. So now the Gemara daf yud ches amud beis. What do you mean? Tvila meikar hadin halach lemaisa not, but meikar hadin. Tvila can even occur on Yom Kippur. Kol chayvei tvilas bezmano tovin ben b'tisha b'ben b'yom kippurim. Why? Because on Yom Kippur this is rechitza shaltanog. Tvila is not labeled as rechitza shaltanog. So the Gemara has an obvious question. But if the whole heter of Tvila on Shabbos, on Yom Tov is nira kemekar, it looks as if you're just washing yourself off and refreshing yourself, on Yom Kippur, that's forbidden. The Rambam Shita, the Ran Shita, Rechitza is an Issa Daraisa. So you can't apply the reason of the heter of nira kemekar, so this should be a problem of tikkun mana. Even if it's not a problem of rechitza, it should be a problem of tikkun mana. So you know what the Gemara says? Mi'ikamidi, it can't be. To be Shabbos Shariv Yom Kippurim, Asur. Can't be, you can't have such a case. Something which is mutter on Shabbos is Asur on Yom Kippur. Don't bother me with whether the reason applies, the reason doesn't apply. If the reason applies to Shabbos and therefore it's mutter, you cannot have something which is mutter on Shabbos that is asr on Yom Kippur. I'm not talking about achila shtiyah as a malacha. Shabbos is the most chamur. Shabbos is a chiyuv skila. If something is not a malacha, daraisa, drabanan, a gzera on Shabbos, so therefore how can you argue that it's asr on Yom Kippur? So even if the reason doesn't apply, near a kamekar, but you cannot forbid tvila on Yom Kippur, as a malacha, if it's mutter on Shabbos. So the Balamor just puts this together. No? The Gemara says that you can't be more machmer on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. And Yom Kippur is more chomer than Yantiv. So how can you be more machmer on Yantiv than on Shabbos? No, that's the Balamor's kasha. How can you say, good, you have a very compelling concern, also the Zuzuleba, but how can you be more machmer when it comes to muktzah on Yom Tov than you are on Shabbos if you can't be more machmer on Yom Kippur than you are on Shabbos? That's the kasha of the Balama. Good? So the Balama assumes you can't pasken that split of the riff. There were more machmer on Yom Tov than you are on Shabbos. Can't be. Mikamidi. The Bala Mor offers one teretz, the Ran offers another teretz. The Bala Mor writes the following teretz. Pretty incredible chiddush. The Bala Mor says this. When you look at the machlokas Rabbi Rabbi Shimon regarding muktzah cases, let's say that's Sugya Shabbos Daf Yutes, Tamar Diska, Trolaraja. Good? So So if you hold Yesh Muktzah, they're all Aser. If you hold Ein Muktzah, they're Mutter. Good? Wait, the Balamah writes the following. Tamra de Iska, Tur the Raja. On Shabbos, what would the halacha be? So if you hold Ein Muktzah, Tamra de Iska. So it's Mutter on Shabbos, right? You can go on Shabbos and you can take those tamarim. It was set aside for business, not for household use. Ein Muktzah. What about Tur L'Radya? We hold like Rabbi Shimon Ein Muktzah. So therefore what? So therefore the shore that was designated for the purpose of plowing, I can change my mind and I can use it for the purpose of Shechita on Shabbos. Of course not, no? On Shabbos, Tur L'Radya of course is Aser. Shechita is Aser. No? Tur L'Radya is only relevant to Yontif, no? On Yontif, where it's Amlech, Esach HaNefesh, if you can get out of the Muktzah problem, then you can be Shochet, the shore. On Shabbos, there's nothing to discuss, no? Tur L'Radya, of course it's Aser. So you see where the Balamor is heading? The Balamor writes the following. If you'd ask me, I would like to be more machmer on Yontif than on Shabbos, because people don't take Yontif so seriously. So if you would ask me what I would desire doing, I'd like to tell you a psak halacha of yesh muktzah on Yontif and ein muktzah on Shabbos. Good, but I can't tell you that. Why? Because mika midi. You cannot be more machmer on Yontif than you are on Shabbos. But this is the Balaam words punchline. Unbelievable, no? But if something is in any case usher on Shabbos, in any case it's usher on Shabbos. So now it can be usher on Yontif because of Yesh Muktzah. That's not Mika Midi. How can you have something that is usher on Yontif and Mutter on Shabbos? No, no, that's not the case. It's usher on Shabbos anyway. So in that Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Yutes, Tur L'Radya, Tamar Diska, how do you paskin? So you have a few possibilities. They're both mutter, they're both usser, the balamor is split. If it's tamra diska, that you have to say is mutter. Because if it's mutter on Shabbos, it's going to be mutter on Yontif. But tur L'Radya, the very same brice in the Gemara, tur L'Radya, that's usser on Shabbos. Why is it usser on Shabbos? Because shechita is usser on Shabbos. But the fact that it's usser on Shabbos allows me now to pull in this remukta to forbid it on Yontif. That's the chiddush of the balamor. I would like to say everything's Aser on Yontif, but I can't because you can't be more machmer on Yontif than on Shabbos. But if you can come up with cases that are forbidden on Shabbos Mikra Hadin, you can forbid them on Yontif because of Muktzah. Unbelievable. Chiddush, the Baal HaMor, no? That's how he says you can navigate those two Gemaras. You can fulfill your intent as long as it's something that is Aser for a side reason, a Malacha reason on Shabbos. In the Balmer, this case is Biko Eitzim or Tur L'Radya. And a pretty fascinating Chiddush. The Ran, that you know from earlier Shiurim, the Ran writes that the whole Kasha of the Balamor is not a Kasha. There's no Stira. There's nothing wrong with saying that you cannot be more Machmer on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. And that does not contradict the fact that we are more Machmer on Yontif than we are on Shabbos. Why? That's the Chiddush of the Ran, because Shabbos and Yontif are Shtei Kedushas. And if they're Shtei Kedushas, so you can decide. If they're two Kedushas, you can decide that one is L'chumra, one is no problem. The reason the Gemara writes, Daf Yud Ches Mabez and Beit, said that you cannot be more Machmer on Yom Kippur than Shabbos is because Shabbos and Yom Kippur is Kedusha Achas. It's Kedusha Achas. That's like saying something is Aser this Shabbos and it's Mutter next Shabbos, and then 2 weeks it's Aser again, 3 weeks it's Mutter again. How can you do that? Shabbos and Yom Kippur are Kedusha Achas. They share the same Lamed Tes Melachos. That's why the Gemara is so bothered. The Gemara says Mika Midi. Not because of Kul and Chumra, because of Kedusha Achas and Shtei Kedushas. And as you know from the other Yeshiva, that's the Rabbah Ben Ochas Erevin, Peraches. That the real example of Kedusha Achas is something the Rabbah writes, we can't have Bizman Hazeh. But the real case of Kedushat Chas is when Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday or on a Sunday. That's real Kedushat Chas. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is a pretend Kedushat Chas. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is Daraisa. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is Drabanan. That can't really be Kedushat Chas. One is Yantif, one is Chol. So, no, Midrabanan, we treat it as though it's Kedushat Chas. Where do you have a model of two Kedushos Daraisa that are Kedushat Chas? That, the Rambam writes, is Shabbos and Yom Kippur. They're back to back. That's the Rambam's Chiddush. That's what the Ran writes. The Baal HaMoor was misinterpreting that Gemara. The Gemara didn't mean to say because of Chumrah in Kula. The Gemara wasn't bothered by Shabbos being more Kal. Asilas Azuleba doesn't apply to Shabbos to the same measure. The Gemara was bothered by a difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's something which is critically important. So how do we paskin in this Muktzah issue, in this Nolad issue, no? How do you paskin? So you see all these possibilities, no? The Rif that writes, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon in the name of Ikar Avasa. And the Rif's Shita that you should distinguish in Shabbos and Yantiv. And the Baal HaMoor that you can't really distinguish in Shabbos and Yantiv. All you can do is forbid on Yantiv that which is already Aser on Shabbos. But bottom line, you can't have any added restrictions on Yantiv that don't exist on Shabbos. And how do we paskin? These are several days in Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchos Yantif and Tav Tzarihe, in Siv Dalid, the Mechaber writes explicitly, like the Rif, Muktza af al pi shemutar b'Shabbos, hechmira bo b'yantif asruhu. The Rif paskin, the Mechaber paskin, like the Rif split. The Ramah says, v'yesh matir muktza filu b'yantif. The first day in the Rif. The Ramah says, what do you mean? Mikamidi. Rabbi was Masada the Mishnayis that way, but we pass like Rabbi Shimon. Then the Ramah has, however, that in Chumrah. Avol nolad, asur ledivreihem afilu b'Shabbos. Maybe there's an exception. Even if you assume that certain cases of muktzah are allowed, not when it comes to nolad. Avol nolad asur ledivreihem afilu b'Shabbos. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Sikkot Yud Zayin. Mishnah Berurah writes the kosva hachronim the after b'Shabbos natinan leikar lahatir afilu muktzah b'nolad. That when it comes to Shabbos meikar hadin. Nolad is mutter. Mikomakom biyantef ein lahatir. At least in the case of muktzah of nolad. It's machlokes whether we should distinguish in Shabbos nyantef or not. But the Mechaber writes in nyantef one should be more machmir. And now this issue of how you should paskin in general when it comes to nolad. See, even if one assumes that this form of nolad, this is nolad she'eino gamur, not nolad gamur. That the Mishabura makes that hard in the Shara Tziyun. Right, but that you know, Nolad Gomor, no one says is mutter. Right? That's the Tosus and Beit and Avches. Nolad She'eino Gomor. How should we paskin? Mutter, Aser, a distinction between Shabbos and Yantiv. This is going to be very important for our Sefer HaTrumos. If the Sefer HaTrumos' Chiddush is these cases are Aser because of Nolad. It would be a great chiddush to assume that the Sefer Chumas means this is mamish nolad gamor. This is the yesh miayim case. This is not the shivrei kelim case. This is not the case of macha macha behema. This is worse than a case of an animal that drops dead on yantiv. Where something was in existence, but it changes state, that's nolad sheno gamor. Beit zeshenolda, shivrei kelim. Atzamos, klipim. Mechadchen es hanavela. Chora, this is the case of Shelley. This is similar to the case of Afer, where it's absolute nolad gamor, not just simply a change in state, but you're creating something such as ash that never existed, that even Rav Shimon agrees, is nolad gamor. See, this we'll have to discuss. Even if one will adopt l'chumra, like the Sefer HaTrumos, the most chumra interpretation of the Sefer HaTrumos, now that it's a nolad problem, but nolad sheno gamor, we see the various days in the Rishonim. How one should paskin? And that Meikar Hadin, the possibility that Rama writes, is that Muktzah is Mutter even on Yantiv. Right? And the Chumr, the Mishnah Berurah, and Sivkot Niyad Zayin, that maybe to distinguish at least in Nola between Shabbos and Yantiv. Because of the split sock of the Mechaber, and because of the possibility of the Rabbeinu Tam and others, that Nola is a more Chumr form of Muktzah, and therefore we should pask in the Chumr, at least when it comes to the case of Nola. Now this Chiddush of the Sefer HaTrumos, what is this Chiddush? The Sefer HaTrumos gives us an example, no? Shuman, which is Karush, and as a result of putting a Kenegan Hamadura, now it becomes the liquefied Shuman. That's the Sefer HaTrumos' example, no? So how do you understand that case? That should depend on this machlokas Rishonim within the Sefer HaTrumos. If you tell me that the Sefer HaTrumos' chiddush is that nolad is forbidden, so that's very good. So the example of the Sefer HaTrumos is an example of nolad. One example is Ein Maraskin, the Braisa. You crush snow, that's an example of nolad. And now, what's another example? Right? Hanochas Hashuman Keneged Hamadur. That's a further example. You'll tell me, isn't there a clear difference between those two cases? Ein Maraskin means that I am the one who caused the breakdown of the solid. That's what I did. I crushed the snow, and now it's broken down. In the case of the Shuman, the Sefer HaTrumos' Chiddush, what did I do? I just took the Shuman and placed it in an area where it would naturally thaw or change its state. What's the answer? Nolad, no? If you hold that this is a nolad problem, it makes no difference whether this is something that you actively did or whether it's something that naturally occurred. The problem is that the new byproduct was not subject to prior hachana. So does it matter whether it was bidei shamayim or ayidei ha-madura or ayidei adam? Makes no difference at all. If you assume, however, like the chiddush of the Rash, that this is not what the Sefer HaTrumos means. And the Sefer HaTrumos said that there is an isser, it was not nolad, it was molid. Like Rashi, v'dami l'malacha. Well, what then is the chiddush of the Sefer HaTrumos? You have to interpret the chiddush very, very differently. Just as risuk, if I crush the snow, and now it resides, zralt shiazuvu meimav, in liquid, that is called dami l'malacha, that is called amaisa adam. So where do you draw the line? Let's assume, for example, I don't crush it, but I take it and I place it keneged hamadura. Is that called the ma'isa risuk, or is that not? That's the chiddush of the Sefer HaTrumos. If you assume, like the Rush, that the Sefer HaTrumos is working within a shita similar to Rashi, the dama malacha, that nesinas hashuman keneged ha'esh, that also is called the ma'isa risuk. In fact, if you look in the smag, right, in Lav Samachay, the Smag rejects the Sefer HaTrumos with exactly this argument that Ein Merazkin, that's a Maisa Risuk. You crushed it. That's Dami L'Malacha. You placed it. That's not a Maisa Risuk at all. That's how the Smag apparently understood the Sefer HaTrumos. If the Sefer HaTrumos was telling us it's Asur Mishum Nolad, what kind of argument is that? You didn't do it. Doesn't matter whether you did it or not. This will be critically important because if the Sefer HaTrumos requires a Maisa Risuk, and the Chiddush that Sefer HaTrumos is, Nesina Shimon Kenegish is called a Maisa Risuk, L'chor, you're going to have to reach some point where you're going to say, even the Sefer HaTrumos is going to admit that this is not Asur at all. Right? You have ice that melts and turns into water. If you're going to tell me that the problem is a nolad problem, one could raise that possibility as well. Melted ice could be a problem of nolad, just like Ein Maras Nisa Sheleg. But if everything has to fall into Maaser Isug, that also is called a Maaser Isug. The fact that naturally, right, ice will melt, you're going to forbid that water because of Ein Maraskin. Yeah, this is what we'll have to discuss. So take a look again. Take a look in Shin Yud Ches, in Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Tez Zayin. Take a look at the Mechaber. Take a look at the Rama. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa has some very important footnotes on this issue. It's all Perek Yud, right, and Ha'ari Yudala, Ha'ari Tezvav. And some very important Piskei Din that we'll have to see. What is the Shita Sefer HaTrumos? And when do you apply then this Chumrah the Sefer HaTrumos? Whether it's based on the problem of Molad or whether it's based on the case of Noah. Okay, so tomorrow we'll just finish up, and then later in the week I want to do some Inyanei Chanukah. Okay, so we'll probably start the Malacha B'lisha right next week.